This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Last week, state emergency management officials visited Akyak to see how they can help with the erosion confronting the village. An erosion event last spring left several homes less than 100 feet away from the river.
Akyak already received federal funding to move the six homes closest to the riverbank last month. But Jeremy Zidek from the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management says there's a problem moving one of the structures.
One home that's about 100 years old, it's a cabin. It can't be moved like some of the other homes that are close to the river.
Zidek says that's one project the state is considering. The division could also help move the fuel farm or power lines that are close to the river. They're still figuring it out. The funding would come from the state's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, which Akyak has already applied for. The money arrived as part of the federal response to the earthquake in South Central Alaska last year.
Whenever we have a federally declared disaster in the state of Alaska, about 15% of the total cost of that disaster will go to fund the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program.
The state's Rick Dombrowski already has an estimate for how much money is available this year for communities like Akyak.
The current calculation is at least $11.8 million, and we expect that number to go up as damages continue to be evaluated in the affected areas from the November 30th earthquake. The key component is it's statewide competitive only.
Dombrowski says the deadline for applying is January 31st. For larger projects, he says it won't be enough time to get a proper application together, but he still encourages communities to try.
Alaska is, we have a tremendous amount of natural disasters that have money coming in continuously. So if you learn the process now, you set yourself up for future success.
Dombrowski says so far the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program has 22 applicants in addition to Akyak. To learn more about the program, call 907-428-7000. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Next, in military news. At the 2019 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, the historic land rights measure called ANCSA was at the heart of an issue affecting some Alaskan Native veterans. KMBA's Tripp Krause talks with a Vietnam War-era veteran who is advocating for his fellow veterans to regain land allotments terminated while they were serving their country.
At the time the Vietnam War was being fought, Alaska Native land rights were being settled. Nelson Agnapok is an Army veteran, having served from 1969 to 1971.
Insofar as Native Allotment Act is concerned, its applicability to Alaska Natives, including the veterans, had terminated. And so we thought that was wrong, and we pursued an equitable treatment of our veterans such that those who served during the Vietnam War conflict would be able to apply for Native allotments.
The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1971 established Native and village corporations. It also promised certain land allotments. The Alaska Federation of Natives says about 3,000 Alaska Natives were serving their country at that time, which prevented them from applying for federally promised land allotments. Agnapok says the Alaska Native Veterans Land Allotment Equity Act would allow those veterans and their heirs to receive their allotments.
To be very honest, I'm very excited for all the veterans and the heirs of the veterans. You know, the Vietnam War era veterans are dying veterans, and we want to be sure that their heirs will be able to apply for Native allotments on behalf of such warring fallen warriors.
The former Chulista president, CEO, and board member says it took about 25 to 30 years to get that bill through Congress, but it also allows that right to those allotments to pass on to the descendants of those veterans.
We think that's very good. I'm excited about that.
The measure would allow the allotments to be picked from vacant lands or lands conveyed to the state or Alaska Native corporations. Prohibited lands include within the right-of-way of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline or near it, or national park, preserve, or monument lands. The measure was originally co-sponsored by Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan and co-sponsored by Senator Lisa Murkowski. It is still in the Senate. Alaska's Congressman Don Young introduced a companion bill in the U.S. House. Reporting from Fairbanks, Alaska, I'm Tripp Krause.
And finally, Alaska communities that collect sales tax are getting close to leveling the playing field between online retailers and brick-and-mortar stores. Last week, the Alaska Municipal League announced a plan to create a statewide code and commission to oversee the collection of sales tax from out-of-state businesses. Online retailers would register with the commission rather than the 100 individual local governments currently collecting sales tax. A 2018 Supreme Court decision allowed states to charge sales tax on purchases from out-of-state online retailers. But Alaska doesn't have a statewide sales tax. AML spent the last year figuring out how to streamline sales tax collection from online retailers. Some online retailers are already charging sales tax, like Amazon, but that tax is only applied to certain purchases. And because there are so many different sales tax jurisdictions in Alaska, the amount is sometimes wrong. AML says establishing a statewide administration to oversee collection will make it easier for local businesses to compete with online retailers. It also benefits local governments, which miss out on millions of dollars in sales tax revenue from online retailers every year. Municipalities that sign on will keep their individual sales tax rates and exemptions, but agree to a central administration for collection. Municipalities that want to participate will need to adopt the agreement at the local level. AML hopes to start collecting sales tax in January. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.